ready to turn right?
Yeah.
Just lost you, wagon! Wow!
Podcast Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. And with me this week, Sunny Hollywood Pooney.
So I saw Joey slide. I got a problem with the word thoughtful. Can you at least grace that shit off of there?
And right there is the multifaceted, multi-talented Joey Quesada.
Woo! Now, Pooney, if that's the only word you have a problem with on that, Joe, take it off. It's okay.
And right there is the lovely and also very talented Lee. How are you doing? The goddess
hey,
of thunder. Anyway, thank you guys for being here. It's the 10th anniversary of Podcast Rock City. Listen, I want to get started with the topic of the week and the news and everything, but of course I got to get all this out of the way. We started doing the show 10 years ago. Lee and I did with our friend Rick and his son Trey, and our friend Luke was running the soundboard.
Right.
After a little while, Lee got busy, I think, with like 25 different bands. And the other guys got busy with just life, and I just kept continuing. And other people joined the show with me. And that included Jody Have Not. That included Andrew Kiss. That included D-Rock. That included our friend Brent, who did the show with us. I don't think I'm leaving anybody out at this point. Also, sound got done by a friend of ours named Dave at the very beginning. He did the sound when we were in Lee's Kiss Lair. If you ever get a chance to hear the show where we interviewed the demon Dale Torborg, he was the guy running sound for that. Anyway, here we are 10 years later, a few million plays and downloads later. And man, it's just great. I have to be honest with you and tell you that this show, when I started doing it, or when we started doing it, I was in a really bad place. I was just getting divorced, and 10 years later, I'm still not married, but I have an awesome girlfriend. Y'all know her. That's enough about the show. Joey's been here with us for like 3 years now. Sonny's been here 6 years. Lee's been here combined probably two. And it's just been really great. I miss the people that I haven't seen in a while. Unfortunately, our friend Rick Hunsucker, who started the show with us, passed away about a year ago now, right? A year and a half ago, Lee?
Year and a half, yep.
Year and a half ago. But he is always on the show because when you listen to the podcast, when it says Podcast Rock City, he's the podcast. He's the one saying podcast. Yeah. And he came up with the name for the show. And he actually came up with the title sequence for the show with Squidbillies, with the Paul Stanley.
GPS.
Anyway, so he's always with us. And you saw his son, Trey, a few weeks ago on Name That Tune. He won. So, all right.
Yeah, of course.
He won. So that... All being said, I got that all out of the way. Thank you guys for listening every week. We do appreciate the few thousand of you that listen. It's awesome. It's awesome. And now the show online, video-wise, is picking up faster and faster and faster. Tell your friends about us. We have fun every week. We're here just to talk about KISS and have some fun, although some changes may be coming. We'll talk about that. And I have a few things to talk about at the end, Joey.
And please don't let Pooney's face and disgusting body throw you off. Please tune into the video. The video is a lot of fun. Obviously, Lee is on. Just that alone is enough to tune in for. Just block the bottom half of the screen. Block that Pooney side out, and you're good to go.
Yes, absolutely.
Jealous.
Let's go ahead and get to the news.
Podcast Rock City News.
Hey, have you read the news?
So you guys can't see it if you're listening, and that's fine. I'm sure you've seen it. I'm posting a picture right now on the show. KISS is playing in people's backyards. Look at that.
What do you mean?
Where
look
is that?
It's Norway.
Whose backyard is that?
It's the apartments right there. There's an apartment building. And if you look, all the people are on their porches watching Kiss. Look.
Sure, it wouldn't be.
This would be like playing.
I'll tell you who wouldn't be. These people. These are the only people that aren't having fun. They're not there. I don't know if that one's rented, but every deck has.
I wonder, is that like a real venue where that apartment building is in the background?
It would be probably like. This would be like playing in Vegas, right? Right on the strip. You play in an open area and there's hotels and stuff behind you and apartments and all that. The same thing.
Yeah, it's like it's in Norway.
Norway.
And but that's a great picture, though. I wish had an apartment like that where I was just like, who's playing today, honey? I don't know. Go out in your backyard and take a look.
It's kind of cool.
Kiss is playing. Anyway, so, all right. So the reason why I bring that up is because Kiss, I guess, as of right now, I guess they're off the road now. According to, let's share this screen right here. According to KissOnline.com, they don't have another show if this is correct, because somebody's going to write me a letter, till Crandon, Wisconsin, Wyoming. What, Wyoming?
Oh, man, they got a month off.
That's Wisconsin.
They got a month?
That's an I, not a Y. Yeah.
Oh, I need my other glasses. I'll put those on.
Well, and then all right, they have one show and then another month off?
Looks that way.
Wow.
Interesting.
According to KissOnline.com, which we are looking at right now, it says Wisconsin, and then Australia, UAE, Dubai, Ohio, Michigan, Ohio, Nashville. That's the day after my birthday, and I will be there. Super excited. St. Louis. I saw them there in St. Louis. I saw them on this tour with Jody in St. Louis. At the beginning of the tour, hello, before COVID and all. Anyway, then they hit Austin, California, L.A., Seattle. I said California and L.A., but it's the same thing. Palm Desert. Yeah, so I don't know if this is really coming to the end, but it looks like they got about 30 shows left?
Yeah, they're cramming them in a few months.
Yeah, it's interesting. That being said... So Kiss may be really winding down, and I have no idea what's coming. That's the exciting part, right, Sonny? The unknown of what's going to happen with Kiss.
Yeah, because you don't know if it's going to split into three different bands, two different bands. One starts right away. One waits a while. Somebody goes in the recording studio. Don't know what Tommy and Eric going to do. Well, Eric, I guess, would go with Paul, but Tommy's most likely not going to go with Gene, I would think. But maybe they do. Who knows?
Or maybe this is when we find out that they plant their feet at some hotel in Vegas. I don't know a lot about Las Vegas. Unfortunately, I've only been there one time. It was with Sonny. If you guys didn't know, Sonny and I actually got to do Podcast Rock City from the Kiss Mini Golf. We got to set up there and do it live. It was amazing. I think we paid for everybody to play golf, didn't we?
Yeah.
All of our listeners that showed up, we paid for them to play golf. It was awesome. We had a blast, and the mini golf people were like, hell yeah, come on, set up. That was the only time I ever went. We went and saw Kiss. Where was that, Sonny? AT&T?
No, it's the hockey arena. Whatever that hockey arena
arena. We had a blast.
Oh, wait. Verizon? It's one of the phone companies.
Phone company. Yeah. That's what I thought. We had a blast. And I'm thinking, okay, so since I don't know about Vegas, Sonny, is it possible for a band to do what like Britney Spears or Prince did and then just stay in one spot for like years?
Well, Prince didn't actually do it, but Rod Stewart has been doing it forever. Celine Dion's been doing it forever. But these guys aren't Rod Stewart or Celine Dion. They're going to end up doing what Journey just did, which they did like 7 dates. They were spread out over like 15 days and then bounced. Tesla and Scorpions did, I think, 10 or 15 dates and then bounced. Def Leppard, when they were opening for themselves, did like, I think, 2 or 3 weeks, and then they were gone. So that's how you would have to do it. They're not going to get a Rod Stewart type residency that plays every weekend for the next 2.5 years. That's not happening no matter what.
So, I mean, and that's why I don't understand that kind of stuff. Joey, do you agree with that or you disagree?
Yeah, I don't think they're even looking to do any long-term residency. I actually don't think they're going to do anything. I think they're going to really be done. I really do. If they did a Vegas residency, I think they, like Pooney said, they would do a week, 2 weeks, 10 days. But I don't think it's in the cards. I think they're done. I think this is going to be the end. Maybe they would do unplugged or unmasked type stuff for another cruise down the line somewhere. I have a feeling this is it. And I think I'm okay with it, weirdly. I think it's time. I think it's long past time. I think it's not just the sound anymore. It's not just the lip syncing anymore. It's let's just end it. Go out enough. And I don't even, I'm not even, no go out on top and all that stuff. That's garbage. That's long past the time already, right? I just want them to end and then not have to come back and say, well, we did say it was the end of the road. We didn't say it was the end of Kiss shows forever. I just don't want double talk. If you're going to end, just end. It's okay, guys.
Right. Now let's get the other side from Lee.
What do you mean?
I expect you to say, I hope they're not ending. I want them to what?
No,
how do you feel? Do you feel like it would be good if they took their boots off for the last time and it was done?
I do feel like they might do a residency or a one-off show here and there, but I think they're pretty much done and they're all going to do like their solo bands and stuff. That's, and maybe like you said, an unmasked show on a cruise or something, but.
And even more than that, what I'm hoping once they're finally done with the road and the Kiss entity is done as a touring band or as a company, you know, with the four members, whatever you want to call it. I just hope they start doing more other stuff. Meaning, like you said, Lee, Gene doing a little solo tour again. Mm-hmm. I'd love to go see.
Yes.
I would love, and I know maybe this is sacrilege to say, I would love a real tell-all, and I don't know if we'll ever get it unless it's 10 years from now, tell-all books by Tommy and Eric. Nope. God, I would love those books. I think they would be fascinating. I think if they were really tell-all behind the scenes, what they went through, how they felt, the fans' reaction, how they were treated maybe by Gene and Paul. I don't know if we'll ever get it, but I would really love that.
They probably signed a disclosure, non-disclosure.
Maybe.
That's a possibility. You know, that's one of the things. But still, a non-disclosure, does that last forever? Or is that just for a certain amount of years?
Depends on the contract, I guess.
Sonny?
Yeah, I think it would depend on what kind of disclosure you signed. Mm-hmm. I'm more interested in, okay, so Paul goes out. He's going to take Eric with him. We already know that. If Gene goes out, would he ask Tommy?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think it would cost too much money to have Tommy Thayer come out with him.
I think it would be more like one of these Gene Simmons events. If he's in a town where Tommy's in, Tommy's going to play a show with him. Yeah. If he's in a town where Bruce is in, Bruce will play a show with him. If he's in a town where Eric's there, Eric will play the show with him. I think it's going to be more like that. He'll have like a core band, go do his thing, and have the other guys guest.
Yeah. Well, you know what? As Sonny Pooney quite eloquently put it, things are just about to get interesting. So we'll be around for whatever happens. I definitely believe that that they may step up releasing unreleased stuff. I think that they're going to go, well, we're not making money on the road, so let's box this up and stick it out.
Yeah,
and
then get into that vault.
And then 4 months later, box this up and stick it out there. Sonny, you agree?
Yeah. I kind of hope they don't go too fast, because you don't want to flood the market. Like the Prince Estate's doing pretty good with it. They throw out something, they wait a little while, they throw out something else. They've always got the store open, but they've got like these box sets coming out, but it's kind of coming out sparingly. You're not getting pummeled with it. And I don't know if you want to get pummeled with it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree to an extent. I do agree what you just said, Joe, that this is the, I mean, I don't know how I could even say this. This is the first time in quite a few years I'm actually excited to see what happens. I want to know what's next. We knew that this whole thing has been dragging on for so long with, you know, all the way back when they trademarked End of the Road and then they denied it what was going to happen. And then they brought it back and the End of the Road happened and then COVID hit. You know, we're talking whatever, 4 years later. I'm excited to see what's next. Not that it's Kiss and makeup next. I'm just excited. Release some stuff. God, I would love them to release chronological video releases of every tour. That's what I have. That's what I've been trying to do for years for my, you know, my own personal bootleg collection. Every tour, give me a live show from every tour would be incredible. I would much rather that than see Kiss tour for the next 5 years.
Yeah, and make sure it's something that we haven't seen. I you know, Kisstory was the I'm sorry, Kissology. My bad. Kissology yeah. was cool, but it also for bootleg collectors, it was like seen it.
But
you know,
that's yeah, it's not nice to have bootleg. All in a,
yeah.
Right. Right. No, but
it's nice to have in a pretty. I got it all together. I even if they released like the Kobo, you know, hall shows, you know, cleaned up a little as an official release, it just feels better to me. Give me all official releases now.
Okay. Now, you guys have been messaging me a few different things that you would love for us to talk about. This is what, so I can tell you this. Some of the things that you've been mentioning are on the docket for us to talk about in upcoming shows, but some of the things aren't. Like somebody mentioned a book, Kiss at 50. Email us at podcastrockcity1.
That's the number one, baby.
That's the number one at gmail.com. Podcastrockcity1, that's the number one at gmail.com. And we'll put it on our list of stuff to talk about. We've got a pretty big list right now. And as a matter of fact, I got another email today with like 8 or 9 other subjects. And also, I'm seeing that you guys are watching from, there's somebody from Ecuador here. I know Australia. Yeah. You guys are amazing that you're spending part of your day with us. Thank you very much. We totally appreciate it. Joey, you were going to say yeah, something?
I got two little things. One, I just want to give a little shout out. I see our boy Thinking Stanley is on the chat here. He was with my buddy Steve and PJ the other night. I got some wonderful, and I'll probably share them with you guys, not off the air, of course. I got some wonderful text audio messages from them. It is incredible. Thinking Stanley, great job as always. Number two, I'm hearing some rumors.
Oh, shit.
Maybe we have an Evan Stanley opening coming up, that he's going to be opening some of these shows.
Oh,
really?
Yep. I heard some flusters. I was in LA a couple weeks ago on the road, and Evan was playing down the block from where we were. I had some people that went over there. Actually left our show and went to Evans, sons of bitches. And they came back with some stuff, some stories, some gossip. I don't know what's true, what's not true, but remember, you didn't hear it here, folks.
Yes. Oh, that's pretty interesting. Yeah. Okay. So, all right. So that's pretty much the news. You know, you guys, we try to keep it going. I will tell you guys, there's a show on YouTube called Kiss Army Things. They did report that in an interview recently that Gene, apparently, I haven't read the article. I'm just going by them, and why would they lie? That Gene has said they haven't quite yet started the Netflix movie. So basically, what their show was asking was, will we really even get this movie by the end of the year? It doesn't. Movies just don't go bing bang boom, and they're probably right. It's going to be probably next year.
And now there's a strike. So
yeah, there's a strike as well. That might be why Gene might have just not wanted to say there's a writer's strike. But I thought the script was pretty much done. But Joey, since you've been, this is your life, basically. Even though the script's done, it's not really done.
Even if it's done, a couple things. Number one, the script could be completely done. If they didn't even start pre-production yet, you're talking minimum 3 more years. Okay? That's number one. Number two, The writer's strike and now the SAG strike has completely shut down everything. Trust me, I'm losing my mind because of it. And Joe knows some details about that. But yeah, with all this stuff, all production is completely done, shot. And when that happens, it's a scary time because when production gets shut down, it basically means all the projects on the table, all the tables across the country with all the different networks, all those projects are now going to be revisited when they start up production again. And a lot of that stuff is going to be thrown out the window because there's a new CEO and there's a new this and there's a new head of this company and a head of this marketing firm. So everything could change in the landscape of TV. The movie could never happen, but you will not see this movie before 3 years, I don't think.
Wow.
And you start moving the resources. So like yes. Disney, when they come back, they can't just put all the resources back they had wherever they had. They got to put everything in Marvel and right. get that caught up.
Right. There's secondary projects. There's levels of priority projects. So I don't know where Kiss is on the Netflix level, but I will tell you it's killing the industry right now. And I'm not saying they're wrong for striking because there's a lot of crazy stuff with the streaming rights and how actors and writers and stuff are paid. It's ridiculous, but it's gonna delay things. You know, think about an airline. When an airline backs up, right, and you have canceled flights. Look what happened with like South by Southwest or Summerfest. All these flights get canceled. It doesn't mean the second the flights are open again, everything just starts. Everything has to get back on track and then get caught up. So you're talking at least a year delay.
Yikes. All right. So enough with that positive news. We'll just wait it out and see what happens. I'll tell you this. We're not on strike here at Podcast Rock City. Yeah. You could get it's like a and here's the other thing. I have now for a few weeks been doing your 20-minute Kiss fixes. Wednesday night, Friday night for 20 minutes. I come on at a little after 10 and I do a show for 20 minutes. I discuss a topic and everybody's been enjoying that. I've been getting a lot of positive feedback. Thank you guys. So join us Wednesday when I'll tell you the topic. Wednesday, you're going to get a tour of my Kiss room.
Oh, nice.
And Friday, we're going to continue with the series that I've been doing. The first one was Gene Simmons' 78 solo album, Take It or Leave It. Peter Criss' solo album, Take It or Leave It. This week coming up is Ace. And I mean, that's going to be a one-sided show. Anyway, so let's go ahead and get to the topic of the week.
Podcast Rock City Topic.
So I get emails from you guys all the time going, hey, you guys should talk about this or you guys should talk about that. And one of the things about doing over 400 shows is that a lot of times we've talked about a lot of this stuff, but we haven't always talked about it with Joey or with Lee. Mm-hmm. Sonny's been on a few years now. We've covered a lot of stuff, but we still haven't covered everything. But you guys send us so many emails. I got another one today that's this long, and it's like, I don't know, 10 different subjects that we could talk about. But I picked a few, and we're going to talk about them with you guys today. This is a lot of fun. I always like doing this. Nicholas Priester, he sent us an email June the 20th. I've been holding on to it till our 10th anniversary because I thought it was so good. It says, topic idea. Hey, everyone. I thought about this topic when I was talking with a friend about another band. I figured this might be a fun multi-question roundtable discussion that everyone, including the live chat, could take part in. Here we go. Question number one. What is the quintessential Kiss song? This song defines Kiss. If you're going to show someone a Kiss song who has never heard a Kiss song, this is it. I'll go first. Now, I'm thinking of it as what the question says. Not the quintessential Kiss song for me, But for it's just a quintessential Kiss. That's a hard word to say. And I'm going to go with Rock and Roll All Night. Rock and Roll All Night, I believe, is the, if somebody comes up and says, I've never heard Kiss before. Oh, well, listen to this. This is the song that, you know, apparently is their anthem. It says what they believe and so on. Sonny, you say?
All right, I want to make Lee mad right out of the gate.
Don't you pick an 80s song.
So
that's silly.
If you say Read My Body.
Don't you do it.
Relax, relax. The quintessential Kiss song to me, this is the part that's going to piss Lee off, has Paul singing. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Right? That, right? Mine does that, too. And it's got to have the four originals. So I'm going to go with I Stole Your Love.
I don't
would be the song that I hand somebody.
I don't.
So you hand somebody "I Stole Your Love" and you say, "This is the this is if I'm
this is who Kiss is. If you don't like Kiss, you're not gonna like Kiss."
Lee, you say what?
I actually chose a Paul song.
Uh huh.
I chose Detroit Rock City.
None of these are wrong as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
All these show the power and grit and fun. Rock and Roll All Night's fun. Detroit Rock City is powerful.
Kiss. Yeah, it's powerful.
I Stole Your Love is pure rock. Mm-hmm. Joey says.
Yeah, it's so funny. Brad just said it. Shout It Out Loud. Shout It Out Loud to me is listen, again, it's like you said, Joe, it's not my favorite song. Of course it's not. But it's perfect Kiss. It's perfect rhythm. It's a crazy, catchy sing-along chorus. It's the dual vocal, which I really do think is a big part of that Kiss sound. Having that trade-off vocal, it gives everyone a little bit of everything. So you're going to get, obviously, you're going to get Gene and you're going to get Paul in there, which I think is important because, and obviously, you know, Rock and Roll Night has that a little bit too, but Shout It Out Loud to me is really the song. If someone had never heard Kiss, I got to put on for them.
I mean, but see, I don't think that any of us would disagree with any of these songs. I mean, they all pretty much show what Kiss is at different levels, too. Mm-hmm. You know, Rock and Roll All Night is early Kiss, not early Kiss, but early Kiss, you know. And then the second anthem they ever put out was Shout It Out Loud. But Detroit Rock City everybody remembers the first time they heard that with the story that they're telling in there, you know, and Sonny, I Stole Your Love. I mean, there's a reason why it wins every one of our Sweet 16s. We literally had to come up with Sweet 16s that can't have that song in it. Anyway. All right. Let's go on to another question. What is the best Kiss song? Everyone is at the top of their game on this song. Drumming, vocals, lyrics, etc. This might not be the defining song of their category, but it is by far their best musically, vocally, and lyrically. I'm gonna start. 100,000 Years for me is amazing. It is from top to bottom. It's just written. I could easily pick Black Diamond too. They both feel like Bohemian Rhapsody. It's not the same as Bohemian Rhapsody, but it's the song that these two songs I feel like Kiss put the most thought into, the most amount of time writing. The solos are great. That's how I feel. I feel that at that point, they're at the top of their game. Joey?
Again, these questions are so impossible to answer, right? My picks change daily. Every day, my choices will be different. So even this one, I'm going to cheat a little bit and go with two songs because I really do think Kiss is not the same band. The 70s and 80s, they are completely different bands. And I do believe they both have incredible catalogs. So I'm going to go with Love Gun from the 70s. I just think it's perfect Kiss. It's cheesy. It's catchy. It has an incredible solo. Great drumming. Great bass line. Just great vocal from Paul. But then I'm going to go I'm a big 80s Kiss fan. And I always say this, almost if I had to choose right now, I'm going to take 80s Kiss over 70s Kiss. So my favorite 80s Kiss is Who Wants to Be Lonely. It's just a perfect song.
Wow. Sonny.
Yeah, if I'm thinking best Kiss song, and I'm thinking everybody at the top of their game. So to me, that puts it at 74 to 76, right? Because after that, you got weird stuff happening. And then Kiss to me writes great, short, hit it and quit it songs. So I'm going with Come On and Love Me.
Oh.
Because it's simple, it's straightforward, it's short, everybody's still hungry, and they knock it out of the park. That's why, this is why Kiss fans fucking hate that I Stole Your Love and Come On and Love Me is not getting played live.
I don't know how Come On and Love Me is not a quintessential Kiss song in every set. It's Sonny, great point. It's almost the perfect Kiss song. You're right.
Now you guys live, that are on watching live, you guys are all putting in your picks, and they're all over the place. Creatures of the Night, Shout It Out Loud, mm-hmm. Detroit Rock City. You guys are doing great. Thank you very much. Keep it up. Lee, what would you say?
Yeah, these are hard. I narrowed it down to like three, but I'm going to choose one. I went with Black Diamond just because of all the changes in the song, and Peter's voice is killer in it. And I, you know, the end of the, always at the end of the concert, sort of, without, you know, the drum riser. I just picked that one.
And once again, I can't believe that anybody would be out there going, no way, that's terrible. You know what I'm saying? It's all good. All of these are good. You know, and when you think about how they're played and how they're written, they're really the best songs. So people are putting in Detroit Rock City. Here's one, A Million to One. I'll Fight Hell to Hold You. Parasite. It's just She. Javier says Black Diamond. Hey Ryan, how you doing? Thank you very much. Says congrats on 10 years. My son and I are watching in Atlanta. Dang, oh. I'm west of you, and Leah's north of you. Atlanta people, rip. I don't know what was I doing there. Anyway, all right, let's go on to yeah, absolutely. Let's go on to another question here. Number three, the Kiss song that means the most to you. It might be the first Kiss song you heard, or it might be the song you had your first dance to, the one that brings the most emotions from your life right back to you in the moment. Now, if they'd have said the song that means the most to you, it would have been, I Think We're Alone Now.
What?
By Tiffany. Totally lost my virginity to that song.
Oh, Jesus.
Every time it comes on, I'm like, yeah,
TMI.
Yeah,
Karen, I'm so sorry that you have to live with this person.
She knows all about
people
it.
People say Led Zeppelin too, you know, and Joe says, yeah, I Tiffany. Think we're alone now.
We just had the radio on.
It really explains the history of his life, doesn't it?
That's right. Everything is coming into focus.
Don't ever say that I take myself seriously. That's how. All right. So, all right. I'm not going to start this time. Lee, you're going to start. Song, ooh. Kiss song that means the most to you.
So this is the first song I heard, and it's also was my favorite to play when I was in Black Diamond. And it's just always kind of been my favorite Gene song is Deuce. It's just one of my favorites. It's just so fun. I love it.
I mean, that's the classic Kiss song. It's really weird, though, because none of us picked that for the quintessential Kiss song. I was really surprised by that. I thought Deuce was coming out of Lee's mouth for sure.
Well, I kept it for, I didn't want to repeat.
So. Right. Okay. I got you.
This question.
I got you. Sonny.
I could have easily went with Heaven's on Fire because that's my entry point to Kiss. But, I started thinking about there's probably only one time where I actually came close to like crying because of a Kiss song. right? Not like, you know, I hated it and started crying.
No.
I'm talking about like it gave emotion because it was so good. So I think I'm going to go with that one. Unplugged, I Still Love You.
Ooh.
Dude, that was probably the last time I'm like, what in the hell am I feeling right now?
What's right. happening?
Yeah. And man, Paul, like that's probably the last time we really hear him just pour it out to where there's not a single person in the Kiss Army that can say he sucked on Unplugged.
Right.
No. I'll tell you this. If you go, I know you guys have seen these things before and maybe even seen this, but there is this, I guess she's British or something, and she's a vocal coach, a professional vocal coach, and she reacts to heavy metal videos and stuff like that, and she reacts to Paul singing that, and she just loves his version from Unplugged. I'll try to find it and I'll post it on our Facebook page.
That's a great clip. I saw that.
Yeah, it's really great. I love watching her. She's just hilarious. Joey, most meaningful Kiss song.
So again, I got to cheat because I have two significant ones. Detroit Rock City was my first love. It's really what hooked me on Kiss. It was the first song that I really ever loved in my life. Never mind just Kiss. I played it for my first battle of the bands, sixth grade. Me and my friends reenacted that song. We didn't play it live. We just lip synced, but it was incredible feeling to just connect with that song. And it really put me on my drumming journey. And then years later, the first song I ever learned fully on the drums, which means a lot to me too, is Thrills in the Night, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. I don't know. It was, I don't know why that became the first song I ever learned, but it just happened to be a song on that record that I really loved when I was really starting to drum well enough to play songs. And Thrills in the Night was just the one I gravitated towards.
I'm not going to lie. I love that song. I always loved the live video of it that they released. For MTV, I don't know if it ever really got played on MTV, but there's a lot of extra concert footage in there and it's really great. For me, it changes every year or every 6 months for me, what I would say. But, you know, when I was, emailing you guys these, questions, I started thinking about it and I really didn't know. So I really had to sit back and think about it. And for me, at least today or this week, it's Strutter. I love that song. I love the groove.
Very groovy.
It's very groovy. I like I know when I heard it originally when I was a kid, I had no idea what a strutter was, you know, but you know, as an adult, now when you listen to it, you listen to the solo, you listen to the vocals, the backing vocals, they're really great. And Strutter is it for me. I got everybody on that, right? Yeah. I just want to make sure I'm not leaving anybody out. You guys out there are nailing it with the online answers. Thank you. Don't forget, if you're driving down the road right now and you're listening to this, you can join us live every Sunday at 7 p.m. on the East Coast. That's when we go live. So no matter where you are, adjust for the time. And, I mean, somebody's watching from Ecuador. Hello. And Australia. And everywhere else that you guys are amazing. And we really, I hope I'm coming off as genuine. I really do appreciate it. And I love you guys for sharing this amount of time with me. 10 years. It's amazing. Let's see. Next question. All right, this is a tough one. Not really a tough one, but it's a tough one for us to admit out loud. The most burned out Kiss song. If it's not bad, it might actually be good, but you just can't take another listen. Now, I'll tell you this, man. I got chewed up a little bit for saying "Say Yeah" online. Some people got mad at me this week, or when I a couple weeks ago when we did our top 10 songs that we could live without. But funnily enough, that's not it. I still am going to go with A Rock and Roll All Night. I have heard that song way too many times. But however, I'm seeing Kiss four more times before the end of the year, and I promise you, I will sing it every single time.
It's different in concert. Yes.
It's different when you're there. Yes. But if I was driving down the road and a rarity would happen where Kiss came on the radio and it was Rock and Roll All Night, I probably would change the channel. I can listen to that anytime. I don't know. Sonny?
All right. So I got one on tape and one live. So if I never hear the studio version of I Love It Loud ever again, I'm good.
I knew you were going to say it.
Because I am so burned on that. And then live, you want to talk about a bathroom song? I am sick of The Who being the middle of my love gun.
Oh, wow.
I am so sick of that. And it's like been 25 years. Like they've been doing it forever. Come up with something else. Can we get back to, you know, she had the hand that was cold down the front or whatever. Like, can we do that instead?
That's funny. I agree.
I do agree.
I agree.
Enough.
Lee, what's your song?
I don't even like to say it because I like the song, but I'm just like tired of it. It goes on in concert. And it was one that you like, Joe, 100,000 years.
Oh, really?
I'm just tired. Like, I'm just, it kind of goes on. It's like boring to me for some reason. I've never loved it. And it just, in concert, they drag it out. And I'm just, enough.
It is a very, I mean, obviously,
they
what
could
are they
do
doing
two
there?
Good songs in between the time they do 100,000 years.
Right. But so basically what they're doing us is for us is giving us a taste of Alive. Right, Joey?
Yeah, I mean, I still love her 100,000 years. It's one of my favorite songs. But yeah, I understand with the long, you know, segment in the middle. I get why it's burned out.
Yeah. That's absolutely really the only reason.
Joey, your burned out song is?
Yeah, I have a studio and a live as well. If I never hear Rock and Roll All Night studio again, it really is a different song when you're in the audience live. It's a different song. It feels great. You're singing along to it. You know it's the end of the party. But I never want to hear the studio version again. And the opposite, God, I don't know how it became a staple, but enough with War Machine live. It's constant. Stop putting it in the set. It's not a staple. It's so incredible on Creatures. It's an incredible song that I no longer like because they just force it down my throat live and they're telling us that it's a Kiss classic. It should be one of those songs like Mr. Speed where, God, War Machine. Remember that song? But they just kill it to death.
Yeah. I'm going to go on the record here and point out that it's amazing that people are pointing out the songs they lost their virginity to. Thank you very much. That is
I just
awesome.
Remembered mine.
Did you really?
And it was a Kiss song.
Do tell.
I was made for loving you.
Oh, that's special.
I was going to guess Tiny Dancer.
That's brutal. Okay, all right, last one. You guys ready? Last one, and then I'm gonna add a couple for myself. The worst Kiss song. What is the worst Kiss? Not, it says on here, not Love Theme and not a solo album song. A full song from a studio album that is unbearably bad. Everybody already knows what I'm going to say. Anything for My Baby will skip over me. Lee, what is yours?
Well, mine is a remake, but And Then She Kissed Me. I think I've mentioned it before. I always, as a kid, I always picked the needle up. And it was done.
Hold on.
So that's mine.
I think Joey's dog started.
I have several others, but that's the one I chose.
What were the other ones?
Finally Found My Way. And Any Way You Want It. Another remake.
Yeah.
As a kid, I know Finally Found My Way was an adult song, but as a kid, when those two remakes came on, I was just like, ew, I don't like the.
Sonny, is Rambo eating your drumsticks?
No, worse. I'm babysitting for my in-law's dog, and he just peed on my rug.
Oh, oh, not the kid. Don't you have a kiss? No, not you have kiss a kiss rug. Okay.
No.
We got nervous right there. Okay. Sonny, what's your worst Kiss song?
First of all, anything for my baby would be in the top half of my Kiss songs. There's so many that are so worse. But I went back to, I'm like, all right, if I'm going to pick the best Kiss song when all of them are at the top of their game, then it's got to be 74 to 76, right? So is there a worse Kiss song in there? Absolutely. Great Expectations.
Oh,
man, that might be number two for me. Just so you know, I just can't get past smiling and clutching your breasts. Just can't.
I don't know why I like it. It makes no sense, but.
No, but you like it because it's Gene.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, yeah, something. It's, I don't know. I like
God, it. People are putting Let's Put the X in Sex. It's so fun. How I could you know. Not like that song?
Well, I couldn't agree. I don't know how any of your choices are even choices. I mean, anything for my baby. Great Expectations
for my baby.
These are not. I'm not saying they're the best Kiss songs, but they're still good, fun, great Kiss, really good Kiss songs.
Great Expectations is fun?
It's a good song. It's still a good song. Fun. I don't know how you could put that and Nothing Can Keep Me From You on the same platform. That song is unlistenable.
Atrocious.
It's Paul is singing out of tune half of the song. It's the worst attempt at an Aerosmith cover that I've ever heard in my life. It's so bad that I can't believe they let Paul release that song on that soundtrack. It's so bad.
And you can send your hate mail to podcastrockcity1.
Oh, don't you dare. No, give me one person in the comments right now that likes that song. I'll tear them apart.
I know one person that absolutely loves that song.
Who? Paul?
Diane Warren.
Oh yeah, exactly. But even her, I bet you she's still embarrassed of it too, because it didn't sell, it did nothing. It was a complete flop, right?
Yes. It definitely was. Let me ask you, I'm not gonna lie. I'm sorry if I'm remembering this wrong, but I'm pretty sure that that's the song that we danced to at my wedding.
What song?
Wow.
Do you mean the wedding that you're now divorced from?
Yes.
Yes.
Nothing Can Keep Me From You?
Yes. I'm not 100%. But anyway, it was a long time
ago. Oh, I remember that song too. It wasn't I Was Made for Loving You for me.
Oh, look at that.
Oh,
Beautiful in My Eyes, Joshua Caddison. That's what we danced to.
I don't even know who that is.
I don't know it.
Sonny, I thought you were going to say Nothing Can Keep Me From You. You say, wow, you lost your virginity in 98, Sonny? That's
It's not impossible.
I was right. I mean, listen. I can't believe anyone ever slept with him.
Oh my God.
I agree. All right. So that was the questions that we got. Thank you very much. We do appreciate you sending those to me. I have one. Since I've been doing the podcasts during the week, the 20-minute podcasts, or the Kiss Fixes, if you will. I've been doing the solo albums and talking about each solo album one at a time. And something occurred to me, and I was wondering, and I'm going to go ask each one of you guys, and you guys that are watching at home, you know, you can answer too, but do you think that the solo albums were actually the real death nail into Kiss because it showed Ace, or at least made Ace think, I don't need these guys. And part B to that question is, do you think that we've always heard that Ace was writing songs and keeping them from Kiss for solo projects, right? Mm-hmm. Do you think that that was a bad move on his behalf because certain songs on his solo albums would have been great on, let's say, Dynasty, right? So I'll start with you, Joey. Do you think that the solo albums, the decision for everybody to go solo for an album was the final death nail? Do you think it happened before that?
Nope. I think it definitely happens before that. I think it's very easy to pinpoint, and I don't blame this. And it's probably, it's twofold because it's probably the thing that made Kiss's career and destroyed Kiss's career in a weird roundabout way. It started with Beth. Because Ace is not the problem. Peter's the problem. So Peter gets a taste of this fame with Beth And he's the one that thinks he can do without Kiss, right? And we all know that Kiss could do without Peter because they were fine without Peter, right? But the problem was, once Peter decided to leave, everything changes as far as the voting, as far as Ace gets destroyed. Because if you watch, Peter musically checks out, right? After whatever he does, he's barely on Dynasty. He's not on Unmasked, but he's still part of the band. So the voting process, all the, you know, everything is still down the middle, 25%. Ace is flourishing. Ace does the solo album. He does Shock Me. He does Rocket Ride. He does the solo album. Now they know, especially with New York Groove, we need to have Ace featured more. Ace has more songs than Gene on Dynasty, right? He has just as many on Unmasked as Gene and Paul.
I think he has more. Oh, yeah, as many, I think. Yes. Yep.
So the next two albums after the solo albums, Ace is, you know, arguably at his best because he's featured the most on those two records. So I don't think Ace is thinking, I have to leave. He's got his outlet. He's featured super heavily, equal to Gene and Paul now. The problem is Peter officially leaves after Unmasked. And now Ace is completely outvoted and everything. And you could see it on The Elder. He didn't want to do The Elder. If Peter's still there, they probably vote no to The Elder, right? And everything changes. So I think Peter leaving because of Beth and thinking he had, you know, this grand solo career in front of him starts the problem.
Sonny?
The solo albums weren't the last nail. They weren't the first nail, and they weren't the last nail. And I kind of look at it as, you know, you go back and you look at history of this band. You can't fix a marriage that's fucked up by the two members going and doing whoever they want and then come back. Like, that's not a good idea, right? So when they were splintering, doing solo albums is not a good idea because all you're doing is playing into keep everybody away from each other, kick the can down the road, they'll be fine. The can has to be dealt with at some point. So you're better off get them all in a room together and make them be together and figure their shit out for themselves, not put everybody in a different room in a different place and they go do something. Right? So I agree with Joey. Probably wasn't the first nail. It probably wasn't the last nail. Peter having problems is what caused everything. And, you know, they wanted Ace to sing from the beginning.
Right.
So right. They could have had Ace on 2-3 songs every single album from the start. And we would have found out early that Ace was just fine, right? And he would have been powerful in the band by the time they get to Detroit Rock City, because now he can sing and he's a lead guitarist. Dude, that could have been dangerous.
How do you think Cold Gin would have sounded on the record if he'd have sung it?
I think it would sound great. I don't need the demon singing Cold Gin. I need the demon singing God of Thunder. I think Cold Gin would have been great with him singing it. I think Parasite would have been great with him singing it.
Wow. Lee, what do you think? You think do you agree with the guys?
I do. I mean, the story went that the solo albums weren't they suggested by the manager saying, you know, because they were having such problems. Well, why don't you guys do solo albums? You know, like you said, they're already splintered. So going off and doing that didn't help. And then, of course, as time went on, you start getting all the merchandising and the capes and the, you know, it just children at the show and it just everything changed slowly into being not, they weren't like evil anymore. They were more fun and child friendly almost. So everything changed as time till, not, you know, 1979 with Dynasty costumes and everything. So it just, I think it was just a natural thing that happened, you know, time changed everything and ran its course, I guess.
Yeah. It's not that much different. If you look at the Beatles.
Yeah. It runs.
I mean, I think things just run its course. I think those for a band like that, like the Beatles, like Kiss, that has these four strong personalities, four very creative personalities, four people who think they can do their own thing without the other three. I just think it's bound to happen after a while. I mean, you can even look at how they were dressing off stage. You know, back in the 70s, they still had their platforms on. Gene had these spider rings and all this stuff off stage. I'm saying by the time 1980 hits, they all have short hair. There's a picture of Ace and Peter out there with like sweater vests on.
Yes.
Gene is wearing all his suits because he's Hollywood. You know, they're just different people in 1980 than they are in 1970.
Yeah, they went from evil and dark, you know, the demon on stage to being just, you know, it changed.
Sure.
Four type A personalities that you're trying to create. It's hard to live with. Eagles couldn't even do it with two.
Right.
Right. So it's tougher when there's four folks that want to be equals and be heroes to everybody. I think you have a better shot when there's one leader. That person makes all the decisions. If you don't like it, you can get out. Right. And you end up, I don't know if you stay longer. I don't know, but but four people making decisions, it's not a great, no business runs like that. If we had four presidents right now, people would go apeshit. No business runs like that.
Now, somebody, Gibson Les Paul in the comments. Now, you mentioned Ace Frehley and the videos that have been coming out. I promise we've talked about it. Just go to last week's show because it was fresh then and we talked about it then. And we'll probably get, if it keeps happening, it's going to obviously come up a little more. But Sonny and I just talked about it a few days ago. And so go listen to last week's show. It was Sonny. Sonny had some pretty good things to say about that. Okay, so you guys out there, once again, this was 10th anniversary, man. It was this a fun show. I appreciate and love the fact that I was able to work in viewers and listeners into the show. I love the fact that you guys are so passionate on the live show because, I mean, even like picking on Sonny about saying that Ace can sing. I like Ace's voice in some things though.
Me too.
Not everything. But yeah.
I love the four distinct voices.
There's definitely four distinct voices.
Yes.
All right. So that's pretty much it, you guys. Wait. It's not. I'm sorry. I promised to do something.
Oh.
Who's that?
Hello.
That's little Joe.
That's little Joe.
Oh, look at
he can't hey,
hi,
hear
Joe.
Us,
man. Show them your muscles.
Oh, man.
Look at that, pony.
Heck yeah.
He's ready to take you out.
I swear. Yeah. I have something to say, but I can't say it. Anyway, we'll do it off air. Let's see. All right. I told you guys that if you sent us your, these are the right glasses, your top 10 songs that you can't live without, I would read them. I got all these. So we're going to read them real quick at the end of the show. Thank you, guys. Dakota, it just says Dakota something. I'm sorry. I Stole Your Love. Sure. Listen, if I say something that you guys are blown away by, Lee and Sonny and Joe, like you cannot believe that this made somebody's list as a song that they can't live without. Joey, how's it going, little Joe?
Say hi.
Hi.
Say we hate Pony.
No.
That's Pony. Good
guy.
All right, here's the songs. I Stole Your Love, Strutter, Got to Choose, Come On and Love Me, Detroit Rock City, Love Gun, I Want You, All American Man, Magic Touch, Tears Are Falling. It says, I did not use any solo records. Certainly not easy to pick 10. They put 20, but I don't have time to do all 20. Craig Wright, 4149. Got to Choose, Rock and Roll, Detroit Rock City, King of the Nighttime World, Take Me, Love Gun, I Was Made for Loving You, Sure Know Something, Is That You, I Still Love You, Rock and Roll Hell, Lick It Up, I've Had Enough, Heaven's on Fire, King of the Mountain, that's about 20, Tears Are Falling, Reason to Live, Hide Your Heart, Domino, Unholy, Psycho Circus, Ziggy Zags. Can you guess how old I am? 20. I'm not going to go. I'm going to do top 10 because we're really running long. Make in Love. She, I Stole Your Love. Hotter Than Hell. Cold Gin. Rock Bottom. Hard Times. Parasite. Calling Dr. Love's. Calling Dr. Love. And number one was Shock Me with an honorable mention of Rocket Ride.
Nice.
Let's see. Archibald, Here's my top 10. I Was Made for Loving You is number one. War Machine, Love Gun, I Love It Loud, Domino, God of Thunder, Beth, hello. That's what they put. Bless you. God Gave Rock and Roll to You, Tears Are Falling, Strutter, Love the Passion, and The Show. Thank you. We're almost done. Just a few more to go, but I promise I'm coming through. Thomas Hubner, 10 songs. Black Diamond, shot. It says not more. That's a shot at Sonny. I mean, so last week we did 20 songs because it was just Sonny and I. So we did 20. Black Diamond, Shock Me, Tomorrow, Only You, Creatures of the Night, War Machine, Heaven's on Fire, King of the Mountain, Unholy, Say Yeah, That Was Easy, and Absolutely Honest. I can't read this name. Duquezaable. We love you. Here's the top 20. I'm just unranked. Not for the Innocent, A Million to One, Deuce, Domino, Thou Shalt Not, Any Way You Slice It, I've Had Enough, Young and Wasted, I Was Made for Loving You, The Oath, Rocket Ride, While the City Sleeps. I don't think that one fell on any of our lists.
No, and that person's an 80s Kiss fan.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
While the City
Sleeps. Nothing wrong with that.
Jungle, Hate, War Machine, Charisma, Come On and Love Me, Strange Ways, Thief in the Night, Good Girl Gone Bad, Tony Ekman, Under the Rose, The Oath, Detroit Rock City, Going Blind, I Want You, You Got Love, Got Love for Sale, Magic Touch, Naked City, Danger, and Exciter. Last one, and if there's any that came in that I haven't seen yet, I'll get to those on the 20-minute Kiss Fix, I promise. Starman 2112 of Kings. I'm going from 10. Love Gun, Shock Me, Watching You, I Want You, War Machine, Black Diamond, Making Love, Parasite, Deuce, and Detroit Rock City, all hits. I have no complaints about any of those as long as anybody didn't say anything for my baby. I just can't do it. Anything for my baby.
I love it.
I love it. There's nothing wrong with that song.
All right, how about this? I'm going to listen to that song.
I won't stay you.
All week. I'm going to listen to that song and see if I can bring myself back. Thank you guys for doing the show with me. Sonny, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I'll tell you, for all of the shots I take at Kiss, blah, 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 and there's probably 20 songs I don't like, but that means there's like 230 that I do like. And I don't know that there's that many bands I listen to. Maiden doesn't hit that percentage, right? Maiden's more like 60-40 for me, although Maiden's one of my favorite bands, right? So, man, I'm listening to all those different names. I'm like, man, Kiss has just got a lot of great songs. And I'm with Joey. I'm almost more of an 80s Kiss fan than I am a 70s Kiss fan.
Almost.
Yeah.
Wow.
I go hit and miss.
Joey, you got anything to add?
Couple things if I have the time. So first, Karen, do me a favor. I think you'll know what I mean.
Bam.
Make Joe like anything for my baby this week, if you know what I mean. It's only you can do it, something tells me. That's number one. Number
two. Tiffany first.
Yes. Tiffany, anything for my baby. Back to back. Back to back.
Chemistry.
I can't imagine you even
going to
get
Lee, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lee.
Anyway.
The problem is 6.5 minutes total. Right. That's
he'll never. You better play anything for my baby first. Trust me, he's not going to make it through. So second, my son Joe actually just made a comment about Pooney off air, but he wanted me to repeat it. He said, that guy Pooney, he's almost as ugly as that guy Zeus from that other podcast. I don't know who he's talking about because I don't listen to any other Kiss podcast. So I'm assuming Sonny knows who he means. Number three. ZO2 did a cover of Parasite at the Whiskey last week.
I saw it.
Yes. We had never played it before, never rehearsed it. Weirdly, it's one of the Kiss songs that I swear to you I've never played before in my life. And I thought it came pretty good. Check it out. It's all over its social media. Just check it out on my social media. And last but not least, happy anniversary, Joe. Seriously, this is a big accomplishment. Talking about Kiss for 10 years straight. Listen, I get it. It's all I want to do. It's all I can do. I can talk about Kiss every day, all day for the next 10 years. So Let's hear's to another 10.
Awesome. Thank you. Lee?
Joe, yes. I'm so glad you kept us going. I don't know why I fell off. I think it had to do with the technology issue. Remember, we couldn't figure out how to...
Well, we were beginning, yeah, and we didn't know what was going on.
You know, so me and Rick fell off. But I'm so glad you kept it going and invited me back. It's been great so far, and lots of fun, Joe. Great show.
Absolutely. So listen, for you guys out there that are watching and hung on with us, thank you very much. There's a ton of you online right now. Tell your friends about the show, man. If they're real Kiss fans and they like talking Kiss, this is the show for them. If there's not going to be any new TV shows because people like Joey are on strike, then we have to
He doesn't like the. He's not a Giant fan. I'm gonna get out of here.
Yes.
You know, you're then punished. We're gonna give you 3 shows a week. Okay, so make sure you come and hang out with us. It's been a lot of fun. I will tell you that today we got threatened by a naked picture of Sonny Pooney in our tweet and our text messages today. I'm so glad that did not happen.
Wow.
I still have fun with you guys doing this.
I'm the only one that got it.
Seriously, I love you guys. I know you're getting tired of hearing that. Thank you very much. You know what I'm going to say. We love Kiss and we love Kiss podcasts. Most of them anyway. And you're going to hear the commercials for all the ones that we love right after this in 3, 2, 1, peace.
Thank you, and goodbye.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Have you heard of the Click Tees shop yet? These t-shirts reach into the deepest nostalgia of the hottest band in the world with designs like the Demon's First Stage shirt, the Rock Skull, the Spaceman's very first stage shirt, Eagle Wings, the Catman's Cadillac Michigan jacket, the Black Cat, the Phantom of the Park Talisman, and a wide array of Eric Carr tees. With over 30 killer designs, these t-shirts dive so deep, they're like opening a private vault of rare classic material. Click Tees is not exactly all tees. They also have products like mugs, hats, necklaces, pillows, socks, stickers, and guitar picks. Podcast Rock City is happy to announce that we have partnered with Click Tee Shop and we are now selling our merchandise there too. Buy some merchandise and let everyone know you're a fan of our show. Go to clickteeshop.com, that's click with a K, to check out all the great stuff to choose from.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
Kiss!
It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growingUpRock.com.
That's growingUpRock.com. GROWINUPROCK.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
DUMMYROOM. DUMMYROOM.
Hey,
everybody. This is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room. The Dummy Room is a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests, too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.
No gratitude need be voiced. Your mind speaks to us.